Reading of the second book of Samuel, chapter 11 and 12. We find in the beginning of this chapter that David, he sent Joab and all his servants and all Israel to destroy the Ammonites and to make war against the capital city called Rabbah. We have here then the Ammonites, who were the enemies of the Israelites, and who David sought to destroy. These people, they dwelt in the land called Ammon, and they received their name from this land. And we find likewise that these Ammonites had possessed this land by destroying a nation that lived in there from the beginning practically of creation. The Zanzummanims, they are called. And now these Ammonites were always making war with the Israelites. And the prophets of old had prophesied of the destruction of these people. Ezekiel prophesied of it, Jeremiah prophesied of it, and this city, Rabbah, is called the Philadelphia that you read of in Scripture. Today it is a ruinous heap. It has been destroyed and it's laid that way for ages. And now when David sent Joab and his men to make war against these people, he did not go up with them. He remained in Jerusalem. And we find that in the evening tide of a certain day, David arose from his bed and went up on the roof of his house. He did not go up there, my hearers, to pray, to meditate, and to seek God. For had he went up on the house, the roof thereof, to do this, he would have never fell into this sin. Had he went with the army as he should have done, he would have been in no position to see what he saw when he was on the top of this roof. When he was on the top of this roof, he saw a woman washing herself. And she was very beautiful to look upon. And now we see David here looking upon this woman who probably had exposed much of her body, and he, seeing her, became inflamed with lust and passions. And now this has already a lesson in it for you and I. Now, the Word of God teaches us that even if we just look upon a woman and lust after her, we already have committed adultery in our heart. Job, that godly saint, he made a covenant with his eyes that he would not look upon a maid. And if any man commit adultery with a woman, he lacketh understanding. He bringeth nothing else but a reproach upon himself, which shall never be taken away, Solomon teaches us. And now David, lusting after this woman who he knew not who she was, he desired that he would know her. And therefore, he sent messengers to take her and to bring her to him. Now, these messengers came back with the word that she was the wife of Uriah the Hittite, the daughter of Eliam. Now this should have been sufficient enough for David, finding out that she was a married woman, to restrain his lust and his passions. The commentary says David was about 50 years of age, a time of life when these passions more or less subdued him. It is in the youth that these passions are very violent. But now these passions and these corruptions in the heart of David, they overpowered his conscience, and these things were so strong that he sent for her. This woman, washing herself, exposing herself, my hearers, has in it a lesson for us. In the time in which we live, There are so many young women that expose so much of their bodies. They have such short dresses. They wear shorts. They wear slacks. Men viewing these girls who have eyes filled with adultery and who have hearts just like David had are inflamed, are put on fire. Many times we find in the times we live that young men are riding around in cars seeking to take such young girls. And they do. They force them into their cars and they take them with them. And they commit this sin that David did. Much may be said about this, my hearers. It is true, man is just as guilty as a woman. But a woman exposing herself as she does in the times in which we live is the cause of why so many are being raped. So many men, they care not what their victim is or how she looks. They are just filled with lust and they pounce upon them. They enter into their homes even and cause them to submit unto their passions and lust. Oh, my hearers, when we view the times in which we are living in, and if we go down to the beaches, we find likewise men with such scanty attire and women likewise, that it isn't any wonder that we have so many rapes, so many murders taking place in the world today. How often do we not find that even a young men entice women and force the women to submit to them under promises that if anything goes wrong, they will marry them. And when, like Bathsheba, sent word to David that she was with child, the word comes to the man, he denies it. He lies. He says he had nothing to do with it. He places all the blame upon somebody else and upon the girl. The girl sits with the matter. She doesn't know which way to turn. She's ashamed. Some of them, they run to a doctor. They have an illegal operation performed, an abortion, murder. Others, they run away from home. They have their baby in some secluded place where nobody knows them, and then they lay them sometimes on the doorstep by somebody else. Sometimes it has happened that two young couples are going together with each other, and they have had committed this sin. They come to their parents and they tell their parents what they have done. One side is prejudiced against the boy or against the girl. They don't want them to get married for some religious reasons sometimes or other reasons. And what takes place? Sometimes the boy and girl goes out together and they commit suicide. Both of them take their lives. Oh, my hearers, this sin that I am speaking about this afternoon is an awful sin. God is very displeased with anyone that commits this sin. Even back in the beginning of the Bible, we read that there was a king by the name of Abimelech, and he took Sarah, Abraham's wife. Abraham had said it was his sister. And unknown to Abimelech, he took her. But God came to him in a dream at night and said unto him, thou art a dead man. Except thou restore this man his wife, thou shalt surely die. See then how God would punish a person, unknown even, as Abimelech did not know. Joseph, this young boy, enticed by his master's wife to commit this sin. He cried out, how can I do such great wickedness and sin against God? He considered it a great sin and wickedness in doing what this woman enticed him to do. This sin has been very prevalent throughout the world, even to this present time, my hearers. Under the Old Testament dispensation, we find Jeremiah speaking that the land was filled with adulterers and that even the prophets committed adultery. And now we have here a man after God's own heart, David, being tempted and led into this sin. And he sees this woman and he desires to have her, and he takes her. All these kings, they had such power in them days. They could just call and have this woman come, as you see in this story. And she came in, and she submitted unto him, and he lay with her, and she returned back to her home. And after a while, she sent word to him that she was with child. Now when he heard this, he began to fear that soon what he had done would come public. And now it came into his mind to send for the husband of this woman who was at war with the Ammonites. And he sent for Uriah the Hittite, and Uriah came to the city of Jerusalem. David sent him for a pretense to ask him how the war was doing and how Joab did. And when he came in, he questioned him about these things, and he told him all what was going on. And then he demanded that he should go down to his house and sleep that night in his own house. And when he departed, a mess of meat went behind him to his house. But this man, Uriah, he did not go down to his house. Uriah, he lay outside of the door. And the next day it was told David that he had not gone down to his house. David wanted this man to go down to his house to lay with his wife so his sin would be covered and it would be put upon Uriah. That was in the mind of David. How far this child of God was sinking. Oh, my hearers, sin is so strong. And sin leads down to hell itself. And now when it was told David that he had not gone down to his house, he called him in and asked him why that he did not go down to his house. And he said, well, the ark, he says, and the people of Israel, they all dwell in tents. Joab and his men are out in the field. Should I then, he says, go down to my house and lay with my wife? As the Lord liveth, he says, and as thy soul liveth, he says, I will not do this. All right, David says, you stay here tomorrow and the next day, and then I'll send you back. Now we have David taking this young man the next day and bringing him in before him and giving him to eat and to drink, and he makes him drunk. He thought now by making him drunk, he don't know what he's doing. He'll go down to his house, and his sin would be covered. But much to David's dismay, this man did not go down to his house. He lay outside. He refused to go home. All my hearers, this man was a patriot. This man who David dishonored, he should have esteemed him very highly and very greatly. And now, this man, he was in the way of David's sin. You know, David, he was king, and he was judge. And according to the law of Moses, David was to put the adulterer and the adulteress to death. That was the strict law of Moses. And now David was committing this sin himself. David, he was subject to this law. And now what does David do? David sits down and writes a letter. And he writes in this letter to Joab that he should set Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and that he should retire from him and that he should die. This was the king's commandment written. He murdered him by letter. He sent this letter to Joab. We have here then David committing three great sins, my hearers. In the first place, he coveted another man's wife. In the second place, he committed adultery with her. And in the third place now, he sends word to have this man put in the forefront of the battle. The devil, having power over David, put it in his heart to murder this man and put it in his mind how to do it. so that his sin would be covered up and it would not become public. For truly, if you are at war, you are liable to be killed when you are fighting. And therefore, it was covered up in this way. Now, this man, Uriah, was called in, and he was given this letter, and he was sent back to Joab with his death warrant. He was carrying his own death sentence in his pocket, unknown to him. And now this man, Uriah, he came to Joab. Joab read the letter, and Joab, he was a man that had committed a murder too. He had killed Abner. And now when he read this letter, he knew not why. He probably thought, well, this man must have done something wrong. That's why David called him back to Jerusalem. And what he had done wrong, I don't know, but it seems he must have done something awful that he wants this man to be killed. And Joab, in obedience to the king and to remain in his favor, he puts this man as captain over a few other men and places him in the hottest battle that there was right near the gate of this city. And of course, they shot from the wall, and not only was Uriah killed, but others of the servants of David were slain. How awful that this had to take place in the life of this Saint David. And now after this had taken place, Joab sent a messenger back to David to tell him how the war had went. And he said to the messenger, when you come back now, and David flies in a rage because you got so near to the wall and there were some of yous killed, you tell him Uriah the Hittite is dead also. That'll pacify him. So the messenger went back and told David how the war had went. And when he got back there, David inquired, of course, and he said, so and so it had went, but Uriah the Hittite is dead also. That's all right, David says. The sword devoureth the one as well as the other. Go back and tell Joab to make the battle much stronger against the city and take the city in. How awful for David to talk this way. Had he no concern about his men? Surely he was not in the proper frame, or he never would have spoken this way. And now we find in the next chapter that how long it had been, probably it had been about 9 months, God sent this prophet Nathan to David. God came to Nathan and told him to go to David and make known unto him his sin. All my hearers, who knows what was going on in the heart of this prophet Nathan? David was king. David could slay him. But he did not go in his own power. He did not go in his own pride. He did not go to be the man to warn the king and to speak to him about his sin. But he went because God sent him. He was a messenger of God. And when Nathan came in unto David, he begins to speak unto him in a parable. And as he began to unfold unto David how there were two men living in one city, the one was rich, the other was poor. The rich man, he had many flocks and many sheep, and they were out in the field. But the poor man, he had only one lamb. And this poor man, he loved this lamb, and he treated it just like his own daughter. He fed it, he nourished it, and it drank out of his own bottle. And it lay with him in his own bosom, it says. But now there came a traveler unto this rich man, and the rich man forbore to take of his own herds, but he went and he took this poor man's lamb, and he slew it, and he dressed it, and he gave it unto this wayfaring man, the traveler, that had come to him. Now, this was the parable that Nathan put to David. And when David heard this, this parable excited the pity and the compassion of David. And he immediately said, the man that has done this thing, he shall surely die, and he shall restore the land fourfold. Now this prophet who spake this parable used much wisdom. In the first place, he worked upon his pity. In the second place, he worked upon the faithfulness of God. In this parable, you may see clearly how that Nathan meant David himself. That David had many wives. He had concubines, but Uriah, he only had one wife. And that was the lamb that the poor man had. And now David, he had forbore to go into his own wives and had taken this man's wife. And David had made a death sentence for himself when he said, "The man that hath done this shall surely die." And now the prophet Nathan said unto him, "Thou art the man." All this, "Thou art the man," went home into his heart. It was an arrow of God into the heart of David. May I ask you a question? Has ever God ever sent a Nathan to any of you people? Has he ever sent by the message that the minister brings, or by what you hear read? Or have you ever read yourself in the Word of God and it became a Nathan unto you, a prophet of God, an ambassador of God, a word of conviction that entered into your inmost soul? Oh, what a blessing, my hearers. A greater blessing could not happen to any one of you in this life if God sends someone, sends his word into your very soul, and you become convicted. You become like David. You become a sinner in the sight of God. The arrows of convictions are not very pleasant, my hearers, but they're so necessary to bring a person down in his guilt, in his wretchedness, in his sin and in his iniquity before God as a lost creature. If we never have these arrows of convictions, my hearers, we never will lay at the feet of Christ needing him to save us. And now it was the mercy, the pity, and the compassion of this God over David that he sent this man Nathan to him. And when he spake unto him in this way, God used it, and David fell under it. David, he listened to what Nathan had to say. Nathan says unto him, "In the name of God, the Lord God placed thee upon the throne of Israel, and he gave thee so many things, and if thou had lacked anything, he would have given thee more. But why hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord? Why hast thou taken Uriah and killed him with the sword of the Ammonites and taken his wife to be thy wife?" Or he brought home the sin of David very clearly, very plainly, very faithfully. He did not hide it, my hearers. He spoke to him just as if he would speak to a common, ordinary man, although he was king. He directed the word by the Spirit of God, and it entered into his heart as sharp arrows. And David, he was convicted of his sin. Oh, it came home to him what he had done. It was so clear now to him. Don't you think David had any conscious trouble about these things that he had done? Don't you think David would have desired to come here where he now was brought? I am sure that his conscience was alive at times, but he couldn't bring himself in as a sinner before God. And neither can you, my hearers. No matter how much you know about sin and how much you know you're a sinner, you cannot come where David came except God bring you there. And it was the goodness of God over David that he sent this man to him, and David became a sinner in the sight of God. David, after Nathan had spoken, spoken unto him and told him what he had done, he says, I have sinned against the Lord. It was at this particular time, they believe, that David wrote out the 51st Psalm. In that psalm we have David confessing his sins. This psalm has been a blessing to the Church of Christ throughout all ages. How often we have been given to enter into some of the verses of this psalm. David in that psalm says, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Have you ever been there, my hearers? You know, you may sin against each other. You may sin against the laws of this country. You may do many things that you feel sorry for, and you may beg even others for forgiveness, but you have never been brought to this place where David was brought. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. All he had to do with his God